Afghanistan 8 years after.
It's been 8 years. Why isn't it better? That's a fair question.
Fair question, General McChrystal. Maybe it's more like a bad movie.
Sir, our perimeter is collapsing. Alpha Company and Bravo Company cannot hold. Charlie Company is being overrun.
Broken Arrow! Broken Arrow! I say again! Broken Arrow!
Confirmed, Broken Arrow.
Broken Arrow?
That means that an American has been overrun, causing every combat aircraft for support.
My God, there's no hiding it now.
Who else is gonna bring you a broken arrow?
No one called a broken arrow, as in this old Mel Gibson movie, but a bloody attack in Afghanistan over the weekend and the loss of 8 U.S. troops makes it harder to hide a military strategy in disarray and the parallels with Vietnam. Broken arrows leading nowhere on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning, everyone. Monday, October 5th. I'm John Hockenberry here with Celeste Headlee.
Good morning, John. This hour, it's Monday, so that means we're going to be running through the takeaway agenda, the cheat sheet on all the big stories to watch for this week. We're also going to get a recap of a pretty big weekend in sports from the takeaway's Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen and the psychology behind sibling rivalry.
But first, Andrew Bacevic, professor of international relations at history at Boston University. How do Americans, professor, evaluate this weekend attack in Afghanistan? Is it Black Hawk down humiliation or a tough milestone on the road to victory?
Well, it's impossible to say. I mean, losing 8 Marines does not mean that we are losing. On the other hand, had we killed 80 Taliban, that wouldn't mean that we are winning. The fact of the matter is that if this war continues, we will have many, many more days like we had yesterday.
Well, we certainly can't do this by the numbers. Professor Bacevic, stay with us. An interesting conversation coming up. Right now, everything else you need to know this morning.
In the headlines, 3 are dead after an attack on the UN's food agency in Pakistan's capital. Several more are injured. The UN says it temporarily closed its offices in the country following the attack. And as we just talked about, it's been a tough weekend of fighting for American forces in Afghanistan. 8 soldiers were killed in a Taliban attack on Saturday. Another service member died after an insurgent attack yesterday.
President Obama is rallying doctors behind his health care overhaul today at the White House. They'll be with him at a Rose Garden speech on health care reform later this morning. 2 high-profile cases are set to dominate the brand new Supreme Court term that starts today. One challenges corporate spending limits for political campaigns, and another deals with handgun bans in the Chicago area. Vaccinations for H1N1 or swine flu start this week. The initial shipments are small. They'll go to health care workers and certain at-risk children. The markets dipped a bit on Friday, but futures trading suggests a positive opening when Wall Street gets underway later today. The Dow will open at 94.88. The S&P will start trading at 10.25, and the NASDAQ begins at 20.48. So, at the top of the hour, with a horrible attack like we saw over the weekend, 8 soldiers dead, another service member dying this morning, the debate now is over whether we should put more troops in Afghanistan, as General McChrystal has recommended, or take them out and leave.
I feel so helpless to put in my voice when he wants to decrease the American troops in Afghanistan. Please decrease our troops and bring the boys home. They're boys. My boy was in Afghanistan and we're still trying to recover from that.
You know how to reach us, 877-8-MY-TAKE.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
Good morning, everyone. It's kind of a down-to-earth Monday morning after bloody attacks in Afghanistan over the weekend. There's a bomb this morning at the United Nations office in Pakistan's capital, Islamabad. At least 3 people were killed there. It's the office of the World Food Program of the United Nations. Over the weekend, 8 service members died in an attack on an outpost in Afghanistan and 2 additional fatalities this morning. On Wednesday morning of this week, the U.S. will have been at war in Afghanistan for 8 years. And the debate over troop levels continues here at home. General McChrystal, we spoke with, or you heard his voice at the top of the hour there, wants to send more troops into Afghanistan. The Obama administration has it decided. And National Security Advisor James Jones faced some withering questioning on CBS Face the Nation over the weekend.
I think it would be a mistake to underestimate the importance of other elements of the strategy that were decided on in March. We do have a strategy. What General McChrystal has done is presented his opinion, of what he thinks his role within that strategy is.
That's General James Jones on CBS's Face the Nation. At one point, host Bob Schieffer on that program asked if the Obama administration is simply dithering on the issue of strategy in Afghanistan. Rejoining us now is Andrew Bacevic, a professor of international relations and history at Boston University, author of The Limits of Power, The End of American Exceptionalism. He joins us from Walpole, Massachusetts. Thanks, professor, for being with us.
Glad to be with you.
And Marvin Weinbaum, a scholar at the Middle East Institute and former State Department analyst on Afghanistan and Pakistan, joining us from his home in Ossining, New York. Good morning, Mr. Weinbaum.
Good morning.
Let me get a comment from you first. I mean, is it fair to say to James Jones, the National Security Advisor, that the Obama administration is dithering in Afghanistan while there are these troop fatalities over the weekend?
Well, I think dithering probably is the correct way to put it, but only if this goes on for very much longer. It's fair enough to say that they ought to take their time in making sure that they're agreed on a strategy. But you can't extend this indefinitely or even more than another few weeks.
Professor Bacevic, it seems like there's been a curious evolution in the discourse from Washington on what's going on in Afghanistan. We had Senator Saxby Chambliss on this program last week seeming to suggest that the Bush administration's 8 years or 7 years or so were essentially a complete waste of time, that we're only getting around to what we're supposed to be doing in Afghanistan now. I mean, first of all, that's outrageous if he even makes that implication. And secondly, do you think that's the case right now?
That we've wasted our time.
Right.
Well, yes, we have. In this sense, the Bush administration's initial response to the 9/11 attacks was to insist that a global war provided the proper template for thinking about how to respond to violent jihadism. And it began that war in Afghanistan. Obviously, then it shifted that war to Iraq, which turned out to be a mess, and now the war is shifting back again to Afghanistan. And I would say 8 years on, the question that really deserves to be addressed is not simply what to do about Afghanistan, but does global war make sense as the way to try to prevent another 9/11? And my own view would be that, given the limited operational success in both wars that we've achieved and how much it's cost us, no, war is not the answer.
Marvin Weinbaum, do you have a response to what Professor Bacevic was saying there?
Well, I think if you define that global war simply in terms of eliminating al-Qaeda, I would agree with him. But I think that our stakes now in Afghanistan and in that region are far greater, and I believe that that's one of the things that's not being stressed here now. There are consequences at this point in time if we change our position rather substantially in Afghanistan. There are geostrategic consequences. We are a world power. We do have responsibilities. We do have strategic partners. And I think better for worse, we're there, and we have to take those into consideration.
Oh, Marvin Weinbaum, let me just get a clarification then. The Obama administration has seemed to take great pains to suggest that, in fact, the focus in Afghanistan is narrow on denying al-Qaeda a safe haven in Afghanistan. You believe that's too narrow?
I believe that's too. I think that was a mistake. It was taken largely because, and they knew better, it was taken largely because that was what would be saleable to the American public for getting us or keeping us committed. But the failure to define that, I think, in its broader terms affecting our vital interests now makes it so very difficult to make the case.
All right. Marvin Weinbaum is a scholar at the Middle East Institute, former State Department analyst on Afghanistan and Pakistan. Also with us is Andrew Bacevic, a professor of international relations and history at Boston University. Both of you, I'd like you to listen to Senator Carl Levin, who's the chairman of the Armed Services Committee. He's on record saying he doesn't want more troops to go in. But here he's speaking about how that apparently is the request from people in Afghanistan, at the very least, to have their own army strengthened. Listen to this.
There was a Marine captain out in Helmand province who put it this way. He says, our Achilles heel is a shortage of Afghan troops. When I was in Helmand province just a month ago, we were told by the local folks what they want is their Afghan army to be strengthened. And the ratio of Marines to Afghan soldiers when we were down in Helmand province was 5 Marines for 1 Afghan soldier. That is exactly the wrong ratio.
So that sounds very suspiciously like the old Vietnamization program in Vietnam, Andrew Bacevich. If Carl Levin doesn't go for more troops, what's likely to be the result? And what would be the purpose of more troops if President Obama decides to go with General McChrystal's $40,000 recommendation or so?
You know, I think if we could sort of wave our magic wand and create an effective Afghan army and police force, that would be the most wonderful thing in the world. But it's not as if we haven't been trying to create an Afghan army and police force. We've been trying to do that for the last 8 years. The results have been very, very disappointing. You know, whether or not simply trying harder gives us different results strikes me as unlikely, especially given the fact that the recent Afghan elections really call into question the basic legitimacy of the government of President Karzai.
So yet another parallel
of a building bricks right. Without straw circumstance.
Yet another parallel with Vietnam. And again, I go down that road perilously. We don't necessarily look to history as an advisor here in Afghanistan. Marvin Weinbaum, do you have a sense that 40,000 additional troops could accomplish either the strengthening of the Afghan army or the nation building required to be of geostrategic significance here?
Well, I think the additional forces are warranted if you're going to pursue what is the very heart of the counterinsurgency doctrine, which is military only in part. It has other components involving creating better government, creating safe conditions where you can deliver development. Yes, the elections have created a problem, but I would take issue with whether we've really spent 8 years building the Afghan army. We really didn't seriously get started in that until just a few years ago. And here again, we've not had the trainers. The real problem here with the Afghan army is that at the moment that we seem to be stepping back, we seem to be questioning our own role there, it's going to become very difficult to be able to convince them that they have to make the commitment showing the loyalty to the U.S. and its allies. Just let me add one more thing.
Quickly.
Here. I think in general, any kind of suggestion that we now have second thoughts on this is that, having spoken to many Afghans now, is going to send a message that the United States is really looking for an early exit, and everybody ought to re-examine their options.
All right, well, then let's take a listen to this in the final seconds that we have here. Here's National Security Advisor James Jones, who went over to CNN to get some more withering questions on Sunday on the State of the Union, talking about what it seems to me is a lowering the bar of the possible goals in Afghanistan. See if you don't agree with me.
I don't foresee the return of the Taliban, and I want to be very clear that Afghanistan is not in danger, imminent danger of falling.
So Taliban does not return to power, and Afghanistan is not in imminent danger of falling. Is that an acceptable sort of definition of either failure or victory in Afghanistan, Andrew Bacevich?
Well, he also said, I believe, that the number of al-Qaeda actually present in Afghanistan was extremely slight. James Jones, in that excerpt, is making an argument that says that we should not plunge any deeper into this war, and I absolutely agree with that. Hmm. Our larger interests in Afghanistan really are quite limited, and 8 years of war is plenty.
Andrew Bacevich, professor of international relations and history at Boston University, thanks so much. Marvin Weinbaum, I'll give you the last word. What is the definition of victory in Afghanistan, as far as you can tell, in the last few seconds?
Well, it's certainly not to win. It's to create conditions here where they will be able to stand on their own.
All right. Marvin Weinbaum,
we have to aim for.
We'll leave it there. Thank you very much. Marvin Weinbaum, scholar at the Middle East Institute, former State Department analyst on Afghanistan and Pakistan.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253. Thanks for listening to the Takeaway Podcast. If there's a story you think we should look at or a conversation you'd like us to start, drop us a line at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.